Thank you. Page 1026 in Parsha Shaftim, Pasuk Ches. Last time we were learning about two witnesses and three witnesses, why you need two and sometimes three, and the whole thing. But this is another interesting, you know, concept in Torah. Ki polim mimcha davar, if a matter is too difficult for you, or it simply means it's hidden from you, la mishpat, to make a judgment, bein dam la dam, whether it's between blood and blood, bein din la din, between one din and another din, bein nega la nega, between various different plagues, divrei rives b'sherecha, matter of your dispute in your cities, v'kamta v'alisa, you should get up and go up, to the place that God chose. Meaning like this. We learned already at the beginning of the parasha that the Jews appointed a Beis Din in every city. Every city had a Beis Din. Okay? In order to do regular judgments, three people was enough. To give capital punishment, you needed 23. Certain judgments was 71. So here the pasuk is saying like this. What happened? You went to the court in your city and they don't know. They don't know the law. So it says, if you didn't know the law, you went to the ultimate supreme Beis Din, which was in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was the Supreme Court. Now, the Rambam in his introduction writes a very interesting concept. He says, when the Beis Din existed in Yerushalayim, there was never a dispute in Halacha. Why? Because if a lower court didn't know, or they had an argument, they went to the big court. The big court, because it was the Supreme Court, when they heard a case, they discussed it, they argued, they disputed, but there was nowhere to send them to. So they made a decision based on the majority opinion of the 71. So until then, there was never an argument in Halacha until the Beis Din ceased to be, and then different the courts said different rulings, so it became a whole debate in Halacha. But here the Torah is saying, the case is, you don't know a halacha, whether it's bein dam ladin. Dam ladan. Rashi says like this, what does it mean, bein dam ladam? There is impure blood, and there's pure blood. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, even the woman with the menstrual cycle, the dam nida, the chacham were so great, they're able to tell this dam is good, this dam is not good. This type of blood, where it's coming from, they knew where it was coming from, and they were able to tell a lot of things. But it says, what happens if you didn't know what it was? You didn't know what, if it's good dam, not good dam, or you didn't know if this is leprosy, you didn't know if it's not leprosy, you know, whatever it was. So the Torah says, what did you do? You have to go up to the Beis Din, to the place, asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha by the God chose. Now, what does it mean, the kamta valisa? Why does it mean get up and go? So Rashi says, melamed shebeis hamikdash gavoya mikol ha'amakimis. The Torah says you go up to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that it was the highest place. Some commentaries explain it doesn't mean it was the highest place physically. Spiritually, it was the highest place. So spiritually, you have to go from a lower court to a higher court. Or like Rashi says, if there were arguments and disputes between the various different Beis Dins, so then you went to the big Beis Din to decide what you should be doing. Okay?
That's very interesting for Dom to Dom to have to go to the high court? Or you're
Because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to understand, not only women, every person had to know the laws of purity and impurity. Yeah. Because if you were impure and you shook somebody's hand, that person became impure. That means they couldn't go into the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. And if they did, it was capital punishment. If they ate a carbon and they were a tamei, they weren't allowed. It was capital punishment. So the days, in the olden times, if a person was tamei, in fact, it said in halacha, it's not done today, obviously.
I'm not tamei.
Sometimes.
I hope not.
So it says, when women had the menstrual cycle, they would wear garments that everybody should know they're in need. Why? Because they shake another friend's hand, their friend can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, so they have to know.
So private.
What?
private.
In those days, it wasn't private because they couldn't be private. They needed, today it's private. But in those days, they needed to know there are too many practical halachas, what to do.
Need I transfer lady to lady or yes. to lady?
Yes. Either, lady. Anyway. Lady person to person. Doesn't matter. Okay? So it could be if somebody's guilty, like Rashi says, the Chachamim in the lower Bez were arguing. Some said Tomei, some said Tor. Some said this, some said that. So what do you do? The Torah says you have to go. What do you do? Ubasa Akainim Valavim. You go to the Kainim who come from the Shevet of Levi, Vala Shevet, and to the judge, Ashayiya Bayama Mahim. They'll be in those days. The Darashta, and you will ask them, Vigiduluchon, they will tell you, Eiz Dvar HaMishpat, they will tell you what the law is. Now, there's a very interesting question over here. It says you should go to the judge that will be in those days. Mm. What are you going to go to? A judge that died already? I mean, obviously, if the Torah says to go up to the judge, you're talking about a judge who's alive. Why does the Torah say, Ala Shefet Ashayiya Bayomim Mahim, which will be in those days? So the Gemara says a very interesting concept. Yiftach b'deire k'shmul b'deire. It says, you can't come along and say, well, this leader of today's generation is not as great as the leader of a previous generation. Therefore, I don't hold of this leader. I only want to go to deal with the older ones. The Torah says no. In Yiftach, who's one of the Torahs we read about Yiftach, he was not a great man, so to speak. Compared to Shmuel, he was nothing. But the Gemara says, in his generation, Yiftach was the leader, so you have to treat him like the generation of Shmuel treated Shmuel in their generation. And that's why the Torah says, Ashayiyah bayamim mahim. You can't say, I don't want to go to them. You can't say, I don't want to go to them, because the Torah says, those are the ones that are in charge, and there's nothing else that you can do.
You only like go to contemporary?
Huh?
Contemporary?
Yes.
You cannot get a second opinion, huh?
You can't get a second opinion, no.
No?
Well, once you go to the Big Bezin, for sure you can get a second opinion.
But
that's
the,
it.
This level.
You can't say, I want to go to a different generation. Go in a time machine. No, the Mepharshim explained that, you know, God gives the leader based on what the generation needs. And this is the leader of the generation. This is what you need to listen to. And you can't go to anybody else. Okay, because the guys were greater, whatever it is. Okay, but by the way, it's an interesting thing. In the time of the Beis Din, if the judge of your generation disagreed with the judge of the earlier generation, you have to listen to him anyway. You can't say I want to follow their opinion. The Torah also teaches us that Shia Bayom Menali, you can't go to somebody who's dead and or whatever. It means, if this is the opinion of the judges of your time, this is what you have to do. This is what you need to paskin. You can't say, I want to follow the rulings of the earlier generations. Nevertheless, certain things in halacha became accepted. For instance, after the Mishnah era was closed, it was universally accepted, the people from the Gemara cannot argue on the people from the Mishnah. Once the era of the Gemara finished, you couldn't argue on the people of the Gemara, like Rashi, Rambam, all those people. Yeah. They cannot, they're Rishonim, but they can't argue on the people of the Gemara. Because it was accepted once the Gemara is done, when the era of the Rishonim finished. Today a guy can't come, well, Rambam says this and I say this. You can't do that. This has got to be a fool to say that. I'm saying you can't say it because it became accepted in Halacha that this is the way it goes. It has to be done in the proper way.
How come this is, they say, you're not supposed to go before?
No, it says you can't say, I want to follow the rulings of an earlier generation. You can't do that. You have to follow the rulings of your generation. But I'm saying, but in Halacha...
Halacha is different?
That, yeah, the Halacha says, because Halacha universally accepted, this is the way it's going to be.
General things, everybody should accept it.
Right.
Just know you can.
Another thing it says, that, Ela Shefet HaShiyah Bayom HaMahim, that you can't come along and say, listen, what happens if the head of the Beis Din, who was the smartest, ruled a certain way, and the majority opinion were against him?
So.
You can't say, I want to listen to him. The Torah says you have to follow a majority of opinion, even though they were not as smart as the minority opinion. You have to follow the majority opinion. Okay, so they'll tell you what the halach is. For a season you should do, al pi adova shiyagidu l'cho min amokim ahum, they will guide you based on the, from that place that the Torah will come out of. V'shamar t'olah says, you have to be very careful to keep k'chol asher yiruch, everything they tell you to keep. In other words, there's a positive mitzvah in the Torah to listen to the words of the Beis Din, and you cannot go against the words of the Beis Din. Okay, that's what the Torah is telling us. Al pi ha-Torah sheyerucha, based on the Torah that will teach you, v'al-mishpat sheyomro, the judgment that will tell you, ta'asa, this is what you should do. And now the pasuk has a very interesting statement. Le'isasur min ha-dovar asher yagidu l'cha, you should not deviate, you should not turn away from whatever they tell you, right or left. Now the Gemara Rashi quotes very interesting from the Gemara, and we'll discuss where they get it from. What does it mean, right or left? The Gemara learns out from here that even if they tell you right is left and left is right, you have to listen to them. In other words, even if they're wrong, you have an obligation to listen to them. Even if they tell, because the Klayoker says, it's an interesting thing, he says, well, why do they learn it out from? It doesn't say, Lo sasur yamin husmo min adavar. It should have said, you shouldn't turn away right or left from what they tell you. Meaning, keep straight to the center. It says, don't turn away right and left. Meaning, the Gemara learns, even if they tell you right is left, and left is right, it doesn't matter. But before we discuss that, there's another major thing that the Gemara learns out from this pasuk. There are seven rabbinic mitzvahs. You wash your hands for bread, it's a rabbinic mitzvah. Chanukah, Purim. I mean, there's seven. Hallel. There's seven rabbinic mitzvahs. On each one of those mitzvahs, we say a bracha. Shekut shon mitzvahs, the tzvon, lahad, the kner, shul, Shabbos, Kodesh, al mikra, megillah, lahad, the kner, Chanukah. I mean, all these things make a bracha. But they're only rabbinic mitzvahs. So the Gemara asks, how could we say in the bracha that God commanded us to do the mitzvah? Where did He command us to do it? Where did God command us in the Torah to light Shabbos candles, or to light Chanukah candles, or to read the Megillah, or to say Hallel, or to wash for bread? And these were all things we made brachas on. So Gemara says, where did God command us to do it? So the Gemara says two psukim. But the Rambam in his book, Lahalocha, brings down the second pasuk. One pasuk says, it's each interesting, it's a positive and a negative. One pasuk later on in Chumash, at the end of Chumash, it says, Sha'al avicha v'yageitcha, ask your father, and they will tell you. Zkeinecha, your elders, v'yayimru loch, and they will tell you, guide you. So the Torah says, you need to ask your elders and listen to them. That means the Torah positive gives us a positive commandment to listen to the Chachamim. So if the Chachamim say, make a, do a mitzvah, the Torah is commanding us to do the mitzvah that the Chachamim said. So therefore we're making a brach on it. That's one pasuk. That pasuk the Rambam doesn't bring down lahalacha. But the second opinion the Rambam brings down lahalacha, which is this pasuk we just said. It says, "Le'isasur min adavar asher yagidu l'cho yamin u'smil." You're not allowed to turn away from anything they tell you. That means, if the Chachamim said light Chanukah candles, biblically you cannot not light Chanukah candles. And this is the pasuk they learn it off. So this is a very important pasuk. This is the pasuk that teaches us, according to Halacha, that you make a bracha and any negative, or I mean, I'm sorry, any positive mitzvah. So it's, if you don't listen to the rabbis, it's a negative commandment, therefore you're fulfilling a mitzvah by listening to the rabbis, so you make the mitzvah, you could do the mitzvah. And you can even make a bracha. Okay? Now, so the Medrash continues to say like this. If Beis Din tells you your right hand is your left hand, and your left hand is your right hand, you have to listen to them.
But, like, you go and ask for advice from your rabbi.
No, that's not... But here it means asking halacha.
Right.
Advice is not halacha. But if it's halacha, yes or no, tamei, tahor, pure, impure, allowed, not allowed. And
so
that,
for advice, it's not like 100%.
No, it's not necessarily Torah. I mean, it's not necessarily Torah advice. But that's why we learned between Mincha Maariv today, we learned halacha, that if you ask a rabbi a shayla, and he says no, you can't ask another rabbi. Because once that rabbi told you no, you have a biblical obligation to listen to him. Unless, if you tell the second one, I asked the first one, he told me this, and I say, you know, you make it clear. But you can't, because once the rabbi says it's forbidden, to me, Torah is saying, not advice, halacha, that it's forbidden, so then it's forbidden. You can't go ask somebody else. So the Gemara says, even if they tell you, your right hand is your left hand, and your left hand is your right hand, you have to listen to them, even if it doesn't make sense. How much more so, if they tell you your right hand is your right hand, and your left hand is your left, meaning they tell you the right halacha. So in all circumstances, you need to listen to what the rabbis tell you to do.
It depends now, our qualification of the rabbi?
What?
Our qualification of the rabbi?
Yeah, we're talking about a rabbi. It's a rabbi according to halacha.
No, but some of them, they don't... It's important.
Okay, you know, in Chabad, we don't classify people. But if somebody says, well, to come to an office and say, well, you're a rabbi, and the reform rabbi is a rabbi, and he says you could do it, so why don't...
No, that's... That's
true. No, we're talking about the Torah gives guidelines who has the right to administer halachic opinion. Number one, you have to be one that keeps it. If you don't keep Shabbos, how can you make a ruling about Shabbos? I mean, it's like ridiculous. Okay, so now it's like this. The Klei Yoke has a whole very interesting explanation over here. What does it mean if they tell you your right hand is your left hand, or your left hand is your right hand, you have to listen to them? I mean, like, obviously, seemingly, it's wrong. If they tell you your right hand is your left hand, so it's wrong, it's your right hand. So why what's the concept of listening to them? So he explains a very interesting thing. He says like this. A guy, he quotes the Gemara. Okay, it's a very interesting, it's a basic Kliyoka, so I'm going to... It says like this. The Gemara says that a guy here is like, these rabbis say it's kosher. These rabbis say it's not kosher. He says, how can I learn Torah? I'll never know what to do. He says, Eich ani lomed Torah me'ata. Okay? Now, so he says, the Torah says, one leader, meaning one God gave us the Torah. So what if one God gave us the Torah? How can I learn Torah if this guy says yes and this guy says no? Which one am I supposed to do? So he says like this. And it's just a remarkable concept. He says like this. Everything which is kosher and everything that's treif, there's a reason to say the treif is kosher and there's a reason to say the kosher is treif. In fact, The Gemara tells there was a sheretz. You know, sheretz is a dead bug, which is tummy. Yeah. Okay, the eight bugs, which the Torah says biblically is tummy. Somebody touched them, and they went to the Beis HaMikdash, they would get killed for being tummy going into the Beis HaMikdash. There were rabbis in the Gemara that said they were able, with Torah logic, to prove that a sheretz is pure with 150 Torah logics. In other words, they were so brilliant in Torah, they said, well, I can prove that a sheretz is pure with 150 Torah logic. What's the problem? The Torah says it's tamei. But what does it mean? Every aspect of Torah, yeah, you could find reasons why it's kosher and why it's treif, why it's pure and why it's impure. How does Torah rule? If the majority logic within the thing itself is to make it pure, then it's pure. If the majority logic, and not the rabbis, the majority logic of this object, like a sheretz, is to make it tamei, then it's tamei. So he says like this. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that they did not appoint a judge into the Big Bezdin unless if he knew how to purify a sheretz from the Torah. That means he was able to find, even in those things the Torah says is tamei, he'd be able to find a Torah logic to make it pure. Why? He says like this, because sometimes you need to utilize that leniency in the thing which is not kosher to at certain times. He gives an example. Eliyahu, okay, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, yeah, all altars, all thing bamis they were called, all places for sacrifices was biblically forbidden to make. So the Gemara says, but Eliyahu, you know, with the 400 prophets, and he made the fire come down from heaven. Over there, the Pasuk says, he made a bama, and he brought sacrifices. So the Gemara asks, it was already after the Beis HaMikdash was built, how could Eliyahu Anavi make a bama? The Torah says he's not allowed to. And the Gemara says, Hayroa Shah Haisa. It was a unique time that God said there's an exception here. There's an exception here. In other words, you need to be able to find that even when the Torah says no, you might be able to find sometimes that it's okay. Why? Because even when the Torah says it's not okay, there is an okay aspect to it, except the not okay is the majority over the okay, and therefore you have to make it not okay. And he gives another example. According to biblical law, it's forbidden to write the oral Torah. Mishnah, Gemara, it's forbidden to write. The Torah says, biblical law is not allowed to, I mean written Torah, scriptures, is not allowed to be said orally, and the oral law is not allowed to be formally written. Privately they were able to write it, but not formally written. So the Gemara asks, so how did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi compile Mishnah? And how did Rav Ashi compile the Gemara? And today everything that goes on, why do we write the oral Torah? You're not allowed to. It's a negative commandment in the Torah to write oral Torah. Why did they do it? So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said like this. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Eis Lasis Lashem Hefeiru Torah Sechel. There comes a time for the sake of Torah, you need to desecrate Torah. And the Rambam gives a very interesting analogy of this. It says sometimes you need to amputate a limb to save the life of a person. Now stop, can you amputate a limb? No. But if this is going to cause the person's entire life to be saved, then you're allowed to amputate a limb. And the Rambam says like this, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi saw the Torah was being forgotten. Torah, the Gaulus, the Jews were in exile, the Jews were not so great anymore. Torah was being forgotten. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said, if I don't write Torah, if I don't amputate the halacha that says don't write it, the whole Torah is going to die. Okay? Where did he get that ability? Because the Kli Yakar is explaining. Because even when Hashem said, don't write oral Torah, there is an okay aspect in it that you could write it. Okay? But sometimes, but that's not that me and you and today's rabbis can't do that, you know. The Reform rabbi will say, okay, at the time of the Gemara you couldn't drive, but today it's okay to drive. I mean, that's mamish against halacha. So he says like this. So then, what Hashem wants is like this.
If God knows that you have forget, why you say don't write?
What?
If God knows that you have forget, why you say
no, God didn't know. God was hoping we wouldn't forget it.
He doesn't know human being?
Let me ask you a question. God forbid somebody is sick and they need to amputate a hand. Yeah? If God knows it's going to happen, he should have made him without a hand.
This is different.
Why is it different?
Because this is...
Tell me why it's different.
Because he created...
It's not different.
He's writing himself. He's writing himself. God writes it.
God created the person with two hands. Now, God forbid, the person needs to amputate the hand. So God should have made him with one hand.
This
Because God wants, when he writes the Torah, this is the concept of Torah. And in fact, for thousands of years, until Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote the Mishnah, the Taka didn't have to write it. And then Taka was forbidden to write. They were healthy, so you didn't have to amputate the leg or the hand. It came later. The person got older, they got sick, so they have to amputate their hand, they have to go against the... But it's not that Hashem made the Torah to begin with, don't write, and then right away they wrote. It took a long time, because the people became, so to speak, sick.
Rabbi, is it like when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, leave me alone so I can announce these people, and then he read between the lines and...
Yeah.
And argued with God?
Yes. Because God already said to him, leave me alone, which means if you don't leave me alone, I'm not going to be able to destroy the Jews.
Similar concept?
Yes. So in other words, what he's saying is like this. Sometimes, now normally, the rabbis are not going to say right is left and left is right. Why should the rabbis say right is left and left is right? So obviously, what the Kleiyoka is explaining like this. When the Torah says, even if they tell you your right is left and left is right, obviously, there's a reason why they're telling you right is left and left is right. In other words, there's an importance at this present moment that they're telling it to you. That means, it doesn't mean from now on, left is right and right is left. In this particular case, the Kaliyah made the bummer, right? It doesn't mean from then on, okay, everybody can make a bummer. It doesn't mean that. What it means, in this particular case, in the right, there is a left, and in the left, there is a right. And now the Chacham is saying, because then, the majority opinion is going to be changing. And this is another, I'll give you another clear-cut example, which is very easily understood. It says in Kabbalah, that now, when Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue, the Halach is like Beis Hillel. It's that when Mashiach comes, the Halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. That's what it says in Kabbalah. The Arizal says that. So Chassidus asks, means Torah is changing? Let me see, turn. Now the Halacha is, you're allowed to like Beis Hillel, Mashiach comes, it's going to be forbidden. That means Torah is changing. And Torah can't, the Rambam writes one of the 13 beliefs of Ali Mamin, the Torah will never change. Because truth can never change. So what does it mean? So the Chassidus explained, the Rebbe explains this many times in Sichas. He said like this, Torah is not changing. Why is that Halacha like Beis Hillel now? Because the majority opinion follows Beis Hillel. It's not Kabbalah that the Halacha is like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, the Halacha is like Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel was the majority opinion. Why was Beis Hillel the majority opinion? Because Beis Hillel, generally speaking, was lenient. The world was not on the level to be so strict. So the Halacha became like Beis Hillel because they were lenient. And therefore, that was the majority opinion. When Mashiach comes, the world's going to be elevated to a much greater level. People will be able to handle the opinion of Beis Shammai. So then the majority opinion will be Beis Shammai. So Torah is not changing. Torah is saying you follow the majority opinion. That's what Torah says. Now, this is the majority opinion. So this is the halacha now. Then the majority opinion will be like Beis Shammai. But you're not changing the Torah. The same Torah is existing. You follow, when there's an argument, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Torah says you follow majority. Now the majority is like Beis Hillel, you rule like Beis Hillel. Loss of love, you're going to be like Mashiach comes, it'll be like the majority opinion, like Beis Shammai. And that's why the Torah is teaching us, even if they tell you are Yeminu small. Because somebody could come along and say, be a smart guy, say, how did Rabbi compile the Mishnah? I don't hold of it. It's wrong. Torah says you can't write it. And it's against Allah. So the Pasuk is saying, there will come a time, they're going to tell you something which is not allowed is allowed, something which is allowed is not allowed, and you have to follow it. Because they are the experts, and they are the ones that are given the power from Hashem to be able to make those rulings. And if it's a proper Bezdin, they have guidance and what's called siyata d'shmaya, help from Hashem, to be able to make the correct rulings. And that's what it means. Okay. The Pasuk Yud Beis. Top of the page of 1028. Va'isha sheyaseh v'zadein, and a man that will do intentionally. The vilti shmaya l'akayna emid l'sharis sham. As Hashem alakech ala shefet, and they will not listen. They will not listen to the rabbis. So the Torah says, "Umeisa yishahu, that person should die." B'chol ha'am ubi'atod am Yisrael, and get rid of the evil from the Jewish people. Can you imagine? The Torah says that person is going to die.
Interesting.
Huh? But here, it doesn't mean stam. It means, as Rashi explains from the Gemara, it means what's called the mumar. A Talmud Chacham, the whole of Masech Tehoyos talks about it. A Talmud Chacham that rebelled against the Psak Halacha of the majority of the Beis Din, and he ruled against what the Beis Din ruled, and people followed him. So that person gets killed. No, Bezdin kills him. It's called Zokin Mamre. A rebellious Zokin, meaning he was part of the Bezdin, Bezdin majority opinion ruled, and he still followed his opinion against the majority opinion, and people followed him doing it.
If not,
so this Zokin Mamre gets killed.
If not follow them, they don't still...
No, because he just ruled that he can't get killed. He says, like at the bottom, he says, if, however, he merely taught his own point of view, but did not advocate Sanhedrin be defiled. Now, this is only the case when he came out and said, don't listen to the Sanhedrin. Listen to me. And people followed him, then he gets killed. But if he just taught his opinion, then it doesn't matter.
If somebody was religious, then going against religious, is still the same situation?
The what?
You have to kill him?
No, he sent the mayor Sharm, they throw stones at him. they do it for free. And then it says like this, V'chol am yishma v'yirol, and the whole nation has to see it and hear it, meaning you have to be there present when he gets killed. Okay? The Kvashi says, from the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that you wait for Yom Tov to kill him because that's when all the Jews are there, so everybody sees it. But lo yezidu, no, then they're not rebel anymore. In other words, like this, the Torah, and this is another one of the fundamental 13 animamins of the Rambam, the Torah gives the power to the rabbis to make sure people keep Torah. And therefore, if the rabbis are going against it, then they have to be put to death. And there has to be a certain authority that the Beis Din has. Otherwise, people will never listen to it. Okay, next. Next is also about appointing a Jewish king. When you come to the land that God is giving to you, you will inherit the land, you will dwell in the land, meaning you'll conquer it, and you'll inherit the land. Okay? It says, Asima lai melech k'chol agoy masher svi v'isei. It says in the Torah like this, the Rambam writes, when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, they were given three mitzvahs to do. Conquer Amalek, appoint a king, and build the Beis HaMikdash. These are the three mitzvahs the Jews were given after they conquered the land.
Appoint a king or request a king?
Appoint a king. Or what?
Request.
No. Minui Melech.
Okay, because I thought Hashem was the one for the Navi that appointed who was going to be the king. But they asked if they wanted a king.
No. What happened over here is like this. In the days of Shmuel HaNavi, the people, so there is a mitzvah, by the way, it was in that order. You have to destroy Amalek. If that's what the Jews did, right? Shmuel destroyed Amalek. Mm-hmm. He appointed kings. Shaul HaMelech, but he lost it. And then David HaMelech and Shlomo. And then the third mitzvah was to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, so when the Jews came in the time of Shmuel, and they came to Shmuel HaNavi and they said, we want a king. And Shmuel HaNavi screamed at them. So why do you want a king? You have the Nevi'im, you have God, what do you need a king for? So all the commentaries ask, why is Shmuel angry at the Jewish people? This is the mitzvah and the Torah here. Then when he commentates Israel, they have to appoint the king. So what did he want? They basically said, we want to do the mitzvah. So the commentaries all answer, if you look in the Pasuk over there, it doesn't say that. They said, they came to Shmuel HaNavi, and they said, we want to be like all the other nations who have a king. If they came to Shmuel HaNavi and said, you know, God told us there's a mitzvah to make a king, Shmuel would said, of course, there's a mitzvah to make a king. They didn't come to Shmuel and they say, we want a king like all the other nations. Like God told us to do. What did they say? They came to Shmuel and said, why all the other nations have kings and we don't have a king? So Shmuel said, what are you doing? That's not the reason you need a king. If the Jews would have said, listen, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to make a king, let us have a king. But that's not what happened. But this is a mitzvah. So the Torah says like this, same tosim alecha melech. You have to put a king over you. Okay? Same tosim means you have to put over yourself the king. Asher yivchal Hashem alekecha, but the God will choose who is the king. Mikerev achecha, from amidst your brothers, which means a convert, cannot be a kosher king. You cannot make a king a foreigner, which is not your brother. And that's why Yani HaMelech, he wasn't supposed to be a king, and he became a king, and it was a whole problem because of it. But, because when he read this pasuk that the king has to be from Jews, he started crying. Because he said, I'm not Jew, I come from converts, I'm really not supposed to be a king. So they said to him, no, it's okay, you're our brother. And the Gemara says the Jews were obligated to get killed at that time because they did flattery to evil, which was against the Torah. The Torah says your brother, the king has to be from your brother. Okay. It says like this. Number one, same tasim alecha melech means you have to put the king over you. Meaning the king has to be in total control. There's a lot of Mishnah in Sanhedrin that discuss the respect that the people have to give to a king. For instance, you're not allowed to see him take a haircut, you're not allowed to see him in the bathhouse, you're not allowed to sit in his chair, you're not allowed to ride on his horse. Even if he dies, his widow cannot marry anybody else. According to the opinions, another king she could marry. There's a tremendous amount of respect that the king had. And it says an interesting thing. In private, in the palace, if a Kohen Gadol came to visit the king stood up for the Kohen Gadol. In private, the king stood up for the Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah says. In public, the king didn't stand up for nobody. The Kohen Gadol stood up for the king. The Kohen Gadol would bow to the king. In private, the king got up for the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol is God's representative. So, the union of the Melech is God's representative on earth, and therefore he has to be head and shoulders, so to speak, above everybody in the ultimate, in every part of his life. Physically, spiritually, he has to be the top, a fear of the king, because he's God's representative on the world. It says in Sfarim that the word melech, mem, lamed, chof, stands for three parts of the body. Mem is moach, the brain. Lamed is lev, the heart. And kaved is the liver, which represents the lower parts of the body. So the word melech is moach, lev, kaved.
The kaved is just the same place as the...
I understand, but it's lower than the heart. So it represents the lower parts of the body. The liver that refines the blood, whatever.
Yeah,
below
your heart.
It's Yiddish. What?
Persian Yiddish.
The what?
You know, like the king couldn't have any too many horses.
Yeah, it's in the coming up.
Okay, so were there things also that the king was held to a higher standard, so
sure,
to speak? Like what? Besides, like the horses and all that.
Can't have a lot of wives. Only 18.
Not bad.
But I mean, besides
David HaMelech. David HaMelech had six wives.
18 is nothing. The goyim's got 72.
No, that's no, only if they kill some. That's only in Virginia.
Going to the heaven. Going to heaven is virgin also.
Virginia. Virginia.
No, I mean, held to a higher standard. In other words, do they have any laws that they
yeah,
had to...
plenty.
...that were stricter for
yeah,
them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. First of all these things, not too much money, not too much women, not too many horses, not too many... all those things. In addition, he had a certain... awe to himself that he wasn't allowed to mix with people. He had to keep to a higher
standard.
He was not allowed to eat with anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a lot of laws. We'll discuss some of the laws.
The
huh?
Kept the Sefer Torah with him.
Kept the Sefer Torah with him. I mean, it was a very... But I'm saying, even on a personal level, Melech is Moach, Lev, and Kaved, right? First is the heart, the mind, then the heart, and then the lower parts of the body. Which represents the mind in control of the heart, which controls the lower parts of the body. If you have the heart first, and then the mind, then it's lemach. Lemach was, we read a, lemach in Yiddish is like a nebuch guy type of a guy. You know, nebuch, whatever you call it, whatever language it is. A melech, a person has to be a king. In fact, the Rambam writes, Moshe Rabbeinu was a melech. Mashiach is going to be a melech. There's a lot of laws how to appoint a king. And the youngest king that ever lived with Yoash, he became a king at 11. Mm-hmm. Shlomo HaMelech was also very young when he became a king.
Does it also mean that person who was the king was the only qualified person of that generation to be the king?
Yeah. As long as he was alive, there was not allowed to be any other king.
Didn't David HaMelech dress up like a commoner and mix with people to see what's going on?
I don't remember if it says David HaMelech did it, but there were kings that did it, but then they didn't do it for the sake of, because then nobody knew they were the king. They just did it to hear, to be closer to the people. But it wasn't to degrade the kingdom in any way. The king was able to take properties away if he needed it. I mean, but again, the kings were very, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, I mean, there was Sholem, there was all great, very great tzaddikim.
They're going to sign also that the normal is the kingdom?
The what?
The kingdom going to the family? Or
no, it wasn't personal. They were very wealthy. The kings were wealthy.
No, the,
but
the position.
The position belonged to the people. Belonged to the people.
Other people, not the
people. No, he was the king of the people.
But it was like a difficult job, wasn't it? Because like you always hear, like, then they made the taxes too much and all these things.
The kings judged, David HaMelech judged the people, Shlomo HaMelech judged the people. We know all the cases, cutting the baby in half and it was a bunch of... They're a very difficult job. In fact, the Mishnah says a king took a haircut every day. Because the Pasuk says, Melech b'yofyo itachzena inecha. You have to see the king in his ultimate glory and beauty. So the king, actually, the Gemara says, it's interesting, a regular kohen took a haircut every 30 days, kohen gadol every Friday, a king every day. I don't have them. I don't know. In fact, there's an interesting, the Alter Rebbe brings a proof from this Gemara against the Taz. You know, some people don't cut their nails on Thursday because it starts growing on the third day. So the Taz in Halacha says the same thing. You don't take a haircut on Thursday. because it also started growing the third day. So the Alter Rebbe says it can't be, because the king took a haircut every day, that means it grew every day, not on the third day.
It is true.
So
how do we hold it up?
No, you could take a haircut on Thursday.
You mean Thursday day, not night, right?
Thursday night also, you could take a haircut.
Cut their nails, right?
Not hair, I'm talking about hair.
Nails
you don't cut Wednesday night and Thursday.
That's right, but not Thursday night.
Right. Thursday
night, you're not supposed to.
You can cut your nails at night. I don't know if Bubba Meister's coming.
Even in the morning, too, if you want.
No, they say there's something.
It's like people say, if you go swimming before the 3 weeks, then you can go swimming during the 3 weeks. If you didn't go swimming, then and Allah, they bring down this, that people say this, it's shtusim. Okay, so the king has to be put as placed as a, in other words, even the people that appointed the king, the Torah says, same tosim alecha melech, you need this king over you. God can think, well, I appointed the king, you know, I was one of the guys that appointed him, he's not going to be over me. The Torah says, no, same tosim alecha melech, this king has to be, that the God chose to be, for him to be a king. You know, it's a very interesting story. People don't know this. It's a medrash. David HaMelech, with all his tilim and all his good things, David HaMelech lived a very miserable life. A life full of problems. David HaMelech lived 70 years. Yeah? First of all, he was supposed to be born a stillborn. Okay? Adam Rishon donated 70 years of his life. Another place it says Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov donated 70 years. David HaMelech lived 70 years. From the time David HaMelech was born, his father threw him out of the house. He thought he was a mamzer. Okay? The whole reason, you know, those that read the book of Rus, you know, Rus married Boaz. Even though she was a convert from Amin and Moav, but Boaz said it's only the male. Amin v'lo amini, Moav v'lo Moavia. So Boaz ruled that Ruth is not a problem because she's a female convert. So only the male converts cannot marry. In Yishai's time, Yishai was the leader of the Jewish people. This whole question came up again. So Yishai said, if I'm a descendant of Boaz, I cannot be part of the Jewish people. Okay, so he separated himself from his wife. He said, I can't get married her. His wife didn't, she knew what that halacha was, that you could. So what, she came, she lived with him once, she got pregnant. He didn't know it was his wife. So when David HaMelech was born, all of a sudden Mrs. Yishai got pregnant, and he separated himself from his wife, so he said David HaMelech was a mamzer. Okay? So he threw him out of the house. In addition to that, David HaMelech had problems from his son, Avshalom rebelled against him. He had the story of Bathsheba. He had a life of misery, yeah? Shaul HaMelech wanted to kill him. He had a life of mamish, his whole life from... His father threw him out from birth because he was a mam. In his father's mind, he was a mamzer.
His son wanted to kill him.
His own, I said, Shalom wanted to kill him. Shalom wanted to kill him.
One minute.
So what happened? After Shaul was unkinged because he didn't kill Amalek, so the pasuk says that Hashem said to Shmuel, "Go to Yishai and appoint one of his kids as king." Yishai had a lot of kids. So Shmuel comes to Yishai and says, bring me your kids. Let me see them. Looks at what? No, 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 no. He said, gives them all the kids. David HaMelech didn't bring. So Shmuel says, there has to be somebody else. Because obviously Hashem told me to pick one of your kids. None of these are... So he says, I have another one. He says, bring him. He brought him, he looked at him and said, that's the king. That's when he pointed at David HaMelech. That's when they knew he wasn't the mamzer, he was a kosher and everything was good. But this is the story when they appointed David HaMelech as the king. I mean, he had a lot of...
Nobody, they put king, appoint the king at this, that time.
The Nevi'im, or Asher Yivcha Hashem Alekecha Bay, that the first king was appointed through the Navi. Mm-hmm. Then the Rambam writes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that if the king has a son who's worthy of filling his shoes, then he has, comes before everybody else. Okay, so the Torah says you have to appoint the king, but the Torah now gives limitations. Erkuliyarba le susim. He cannot have a lot of horses. Okay?
Yes.
And the Ramban explains, what's the Torah telling us here? The Goyim definition of a king was the power and might. That's what made somebody a king, was the power. Like Ahasuerus. I mean, whoever it is the power. So the Torah says, let me tell you what type of king I want. A guy that's not power. He doesn't have a lot of horses. He doesn't have all this. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have whatever he wants. That's the king that I want. Not a Jewish king. Yeah? He had to have the dignity of the king, but it was, you know, his personal life had to be a life of simple.
Totally against what people respect in
someone. Correct. Correct.
And if they have this stuff, he has more respect of it.
Then they'll have more respect.
Yeah.
In other words, it sounds like this. Layaber leisusim, he cannot have a lot of horses. Only, like Rashi says, only what he needs for the chariots for the war. The best horses came from Egypt in those days. He said, you can't even go back to Egypt to get the horses. Okay? So he says, because God told you, you cannot go back to the path of Mitzrayim. You can't go back to Mitzrayim. So he says, you can have horses, but you can't get them from Egypt because I don't want you going back to Egypt to get horses. Okay, you can't have a lot of wives. How many? 18. And Rashi says, where do we learn this out from? Because they told Nathan and Navi told David, David Melch had 6 wives. And Nathan and Navi said to David, if it's not enough for you, may sifanoch kahena v'chahena. I'll triple it. So from there we learn out that a king can only have 18 wives. Okay.
There was 12 months and one wife for each month.
David Amal had 6 wives. But the Navi offered him 18.
Did he have 18 or
no? No, he had 6.
Was that because he had a cold? Is that a
problem? Shlomo had 1,000 wives.
Honestly, 1,000 wives.
Yeah. They gave him a gift. As a gift, huh?
No, as a gift. He married all the daughters of all the kings that nobody should fight with their son-in-law. He wasn't the mother. The mother-in-law would be fighting anyway. But the father-in-law with the son-in-law. So he married all the daughters of all the kings and nobody should start a war with him. The chesed v'zahav le'yarbel le'me'ed, he cannot have too much money. In other words, only enough money for, to, like Rashi says, to pay the upkeep of the country. Okay? And the Mepharshim point out, as it's being done over, this is well known. Shlomo HaMelech said, with my wisdom, I can live with all these things, and I'll be okay. And it was proven that it wasn't okay. He did go back to Egypt, because he liked horses, and he had more horses than he should have, and he had more money than he should have, and he had, by the way, just keep one thing in mind. Shlomo HaMelech was a very big tzaddik. Don't make him this guy. First of all, he died at 54.
So much enjoy, you know?
His wife's
who
killed
had
him.
More money, David HaMelech or Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo
HaMelech had much more money. But he was against what Hashem wanted.
He said even he had with all of his money, when somebody would come to visit him, he always looking if they brought him something.
I didn't
know. You brought him a gift or something.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe.
Huh?
I never saw that.
That's why we learn when we go someplace, we have to take something.
But like,
that's
what
I
get.
Like Anasi, he never really took it as an enjoyment. It was all for the sake of Hashem. He didn't. Shlomo HaMelech was above that.
Shlomo HaMelech was a very great tzaddik, but in these levels, he did not live up to what Hashem told him to do. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech thought that with his greatness, he's the exception of the rule. Now, this is for the regular kings. Not too many wives, not too many horses, not too much money. But Shlomo HaMelech understood on his level, it's not going to affect him. Or like, there's a very famous story in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Chacham say you're not allowed to read next to a kerosene lamp that you can make bigger or smaller. Because if you're going to forget the Shabbos, you'll make it bigger. So Rabbi Shmuel said, me? I'm not going to make that mistake. So Gemara said, he read by such a light, and there's two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is he actually made the light bigger on Shabbos, and one opinion is about when he realized, and he said that when God will build the Beis HaMikdash, Avi Chatashmein, I'm going to bring a big, fat, juicy sin offering that I didn't listen to what the rabbi said. It was a rabbinic thing, not to sit, not biblical. The rabbi said, don't sit next to the light, because you might come to make it bigger. So he said, so people think, and their greatness, it's not going to happen to me. But the Torah says, you're like every other person, it's going to happen to you too.